What do you do when you're confronted by a crazy person? You know the kind of people I'm talking about. They're the ones who sit on a bench on East Broad Street waiting for a bus that never comes, talking to themselves. They're the people who act a little odd, or maybe even a lot odd, in train stations. They're sometimes the homeless among us, or they're sometimes the relative that we don't invite for Thanksgiving because their behavior is unpredictable and a little bit frightening. They are different from us, and we feel that difference acutely. As a result, we tend to discount them. We think that they live in some strange underworld that has nothing to do with us. We think they are the detritus of the world, worthless. They don't contribute to society. They don't work or pay taxes or fix things or make things. They can't do these things, of course, because they're crazy, or at least they seem crazy to us. And so we judge them and say that they're a drag on society, or probably addicts of some sort, or we're frightened of them, because their world seems entirely disconnected from our own. And yet, rationally and spiritually, as Christians, we understand that they have value. We know that they are created by God, beloved by their Creator, just as we are. And yet, when we encounter them, we still think of them as less than us. In many ways, it's natural to think of crazy people this way. I don't think I've ever heard anyone describe the paranoid schizophrenic who lives under the bridge as somebody who contributes to the world. You wouldn't hire her to mind your children. You certainly wouldn't want him to draw your blood in the doctor's lab. No, for that you want somebody who seems sane and competent and rational. And crazy people, in our eyes, are none of the above. But the crazy people in the world have a skill that is rare and beautiful. And it's one that few of us share with them. They are the watchers. They see things, not just the top layer of things that we all can observe, but a deeper, more complicated level of observation. Granted, their observations are not always trustworthy, but sometimes they surprise us because crazy people see things through a different lens. Their different perspective gives them the capacity to see things that we so-called normal people might miss. Sometimes, too, they sit still better than we do. And those who sit still to observe catch things that we might miss, whether it's a beautiful little robin plucking a fat worm out of the earth in springtime, or a policeman heading toward them to rouse them out of the park. They see things in the world and in humanity sometimes so clearly that it is almost painful to them and painful to us. I'm reminded of a man who stood next to me one bright Tuesday noon in McPherson Square in Washington, D.C. We were both attending a service of street church, a noontime Eucharist in the park for the street people and the office workers. a simple celebration of the Lord's Supper for people who were hungry for many things, not the least of which was the sandwich and juice that would be handed out after the service. That man standing next to me was a sojourner, a wanderer from who knows where. He smelled bad, and he was sort of twitchy. His clothes were worn, and his backpack looked like it had seen better days. Throughout the whole beginning of the service, he mumbled to himself words that I couldn't decipher. And then the moment came in that service, as it will in this one, when we were to exchange the peace. And I had no idea what would happen. But I took a deep breath, despite the odor that now surrounded us, because while he was standing there, he had wet his pants, and said, "God's peace, my brother." I braced myself for whatever would come next, terrified that he might want to hug me. "God's peace, my brother." He half turned towards me and stopped mumbling. He looked at me, waited a moment, and smiled and said, "I need it. You need it too." This strange man, possessed by some demon, whether it was drugs or alcohol or mental illness or just deep sadness, this man who had wet his pants a few minutes before but seemed oblivious to it, this man who was mumbling to some invisible person, he looked at me in a moment of strange clarity and had seen something in himself and in me. And he, as they say, he got it in one. "I need it. I need God's peace. And you need God's peace too." How could he have known? I was finishing up my time in seminary. I had no idea where I would be employed. I was worried about money, about exams, about my thesis, about my children, whether this had all been a big mistake. And then a crazy man reminded me that my worries were irrelevant. I needed God's peace, and God would give it to me. When Jesus began his ministry, he went into the synagogue to teach on the Sabbath. And there's some question whether he ever wondered about who he was and what he was doing, particularly in those early days. Yes, when he was baptized in the Jordan, he heard his Heavenly Father's voice pronouncing a benediction on him and his mission. But perhaps he too wondered how this would all play out, or if he was doing it right, or whether he was deluded or even a tad crazy himself. And then a truly crazy person came up to him. And there was no hesitation on the part of this man who was possessed by demons. He just started shouting at Jesus. Or the demons within him did the shouting, naming Jesus in a way that the disciples didn't even dare to, calling him the Holy One of God, the one person who could see who Jesus really was not one of the disciples. It was not one of the religious leaders in the synagogue. It wasn't Jesus' relatives or neighbors. No, it was a crazy person, a man possessed by an unclean spirit, by demons. This crazy man saw Jesus more deeply than the others did. especially the religious people. He named him as the Son of God. It was as if he had his own little personal microscope through which he could peer and analyze Jesus' DNA, and he saw what was there, and he named it. He got it in one. This strange man was a forerunner of what Orthodox Christians identify as holy fools, saints who act foolishly, seemingly mad, talking in riddles, sometimes homeless, sometimes naked, but who were said to be prophets of God. Maybe it's only the crazy ones who have the time and the patience to look deeply. Maybe their broken hearts and minds help them to see what we in our arrogance and busyness don't notice. Maybe the lesson of this story from Mark's Gospel isn't that Jesus worked miracles and tamed demons, or that people were amazed by his words and works. Maybe the lesson is simply this: pay attention. Maybe the crazy people, the holy fools, have it right and we have it wrong. Maybe we need to relearn how to see beyond our own circumscribed understanding of the world and humanity and God. Look deeply. Let yourselves be holy fools. Let yourself be crazy enough to see the Son of God in unexpected ways, in unexpected people, in unexpected places. Sit. Look. Be blessed. Amen.